I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's my privilege to stand before you all to share what the Lord has put on my heart as I was pondering on what to preach this morning. And God led me to a specific book in the Bible, which we all know, and it's very famous for us. We have meditated upon it so many times. Book of Nehemiah. Before going to the message, I just want to give some updates about the ministry that we do back in India. As you all know, I'm Pastor Moses from India, and I lead a ministry called Word India, which is officially approved a mission organization of Southern Methodist Church. And the churches that we establish in India are Southern Methodist churches in India. For the past 5 years, I'm involved with this mission, and we were able to plant 12 churches in the past 5 years. And I'm really glad and very happy to be part and parcel of Southern Methodist Church. And I want to thank this church particularly because you have been so gracious, and you have been praying for us. Above all, you have been supporting us financially, and I want to thank each and every one of you, the pastor, the elders of the church, and all the members of this wonderful church for your love towards the ministry that we do in India. And I really thank God for this ministry, for this church. And we have 7 pastors, 12 churches already planted in India. Among these 12 churches, 4 churches have been officially accepted into the Eastern Annual Conference, and there are 6 churches, applicant churches, to be accepted into Eastern Annual Conference. And there are 2 preaching points. We call preaching points because there are less than 25 members in those churches, and we call them preaching points. And we have churches apply to be with the Eastern Annual Conference when they have more than 25 members in the church. And I'm very glad to have to say that there are around 750 people in all these 12 churches that we have established in India. And I thank each and every one of you for your support, for your prayers and concern towards the ministry that we do in India. And I want to thank Dr. Vic Reisner for his concern towards me and our ministry, Word India. Shall we all bow down our heads and look to the Lord in prayer before we go to the message? Shall we all bow down our heads and look to the Lord in prayer? Our gracious Father, we thank you, we adore you, Father God, for this wonderful privilege that thou had given for us to come unto thy feet. Even though we were unworthy to pronounce your name, you made us worthy through thy Son Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, cleansed all our sins and transgressions. O Lord, we thank you, we love you, we honor you. You be with us, lead us and guide us. Help us to understand your word as we are going to meditate upon this. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses commencing from 1 to 11. We have read it so many times, and we know so many things about Nehemiah. As I was pondering on this chapter, I was reminded of the persecution that we face in India. A couple of years ago, a state called Orissa, in a district called in a state called Orissa, people who believed in Jesus Christ were persecuted so badly they had to leave their villages, they had to leave their houses, they had to leave the churches and hide themselves in the forest areas. Around 50,000 people were homeless at the time of persecution. This happened a couple of years ago, and this news was all over the world, and even BBC, Sky News, they all covered this news. And the persecution is increasing day by day. Last night, I was in Dr. Vic Krishna's house, and I was going through my mails, and I received a link. I showed it to Dr. Vic Krishna. There was a Christian in Tunisia, the northern part of Africa, because he believed in Jesus Christ. Because he believed in Jesus Christ. There was a video showed very clearly. He was beheaded. He was beheaded by the Muslim people. Lots of things are happening around the world. Lots of things. This morning I was in the Sunday school, and we were talking about rolling up our sleeves, right? It's a wonderful thing. I really loved it. Jesus rolled up his sleeves to serve his disciples. The only reason Jesus had was to make his disciples realize that no one is greater. He had a thought, he had a vision, he had a mission to make his disciples realize that there is no one greater than one another. And that is how Jesus was trying. Whatever he did, any miracle, any parable he preached, whatever he said, there was a vision, there was a mission of Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the will of God. This morning, let us meditate upon the particular thing that Nehemiah, that happened in the life of Nehemiah. Chapter 1. Verses commencing from 1 to 11. The people of Judah and the city of Jerusalem were in a terrible condition in those days. Over 150 years earlier, Nebuchadnezzar and his armies attacked the people of God, the Israelites. They invaded Israel and they took away all things. And they took so many people as slaves. The Jews were desperately in need of someone who had a vision, to lead these people. They were desperately in need of those things. They needed someone who was a different person. They needed someone who had been captured by God and was set on the fire by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. They were in need of someone who could do that. And this morning, let me remind you all, I really appreciate this church because we are so mission-minded. You support the mission work around the world, and I really appreciate it. Let me remind you this morning that God wanted the people, people with a vision. God wanted people of vision. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When we think about Nehemiah in chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah, and it came to pass in the month Cheslew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Let us see the background of Nehemiah this morning. He was in a good position. He was in a good place. He was quite comfortable with sophisticated life, my dear brothers and sisters. We see the calmness in the life of Nehemiah. He was in Shushan palace, you know, tasting the food of the king before the king ate. He was in a good position. He had no problem in his life. His life was going very calm. The king would have looked to Nehemiah for advice from time to time because of that position. His was a life of great serenity and ease. Nehemiah was living a very good life. A calm life. He was in the palace, Shushan, the palace. In verse 2 and 3, we see that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. The calmness of Nehemiah's life, when we come to the verse 2, we see there is a calamity in Nehemiah's life. He was trying to inquire about his people who were living back in his country, in his hometown. And he asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. In verse 3 we see, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Nehemiah, he was in a very good position. He was, his life was very calm and a sophisticated one. But when he heard about all these things that were happening to his people, to the Jews, his life had a calamity. He had a disturbed heart. His heart was pinched with the situation that his people were facing. His peace and serenity was shattered by a visit from his brother, by the brothers and sisters. He was completely disturbed. There is a proverb in my mother tongue which goes like this. There will be silence before storm, right? I don't know whether do you have that saying in English or not. But we say there will be silence before storm. Nehemiah's life was so calm, so silent. It was good going. But when he heard about his people's situation, there was a storm in his life. There was a disturbance in his heart. It pinched his heart, my dear brothers and sisters. Then we see in verse 4, when we read it, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. The calmness of Nehemiah's life and the calamity in Nehemiah's life, and when you come to the verse 4, we see the compassion in Nehemiah's life. We see the compassion Nehemiah had. When he heard about the people in people of Israel, verse 4, and it came to pass when he heard these words that I sat down and wept. See the compassion Nehemiah was having in his life. So compassionate person. He sat down and he wept and mourned certain days. Was crying. He was mourning certain days. So many days. And fasted and prayed before God of heaven. He fasted and prayed. We see the compassion Nehemiah had for his people. Let me tell you, if a person is carried away with the vision of the Lord, will always be disturbed in his heart, that he need to do something for the glory of God. If certain things does not disturb your heart, if certain things spiritually talking, if it does not pinch your heart, that means there is something wrong between you and God relationship. If your relationship is good with the Lord, if you have a good relationship with the Lord, when you hear certain things, your heart will be disturbed. When we are cool and quiet in the presence of God, that means that we there is some problem with the relationship that we have with the Lord. Here we see, after he was disturbed, and he prayed, fasted. He was looking to the Lord. A person with a vision, a church with a vision, a leader with a vision will always start his work for God's glory with prayer. Rolling up sleeves precedes prayer. Rolling up sleeves precedes prayer. Without prayer, we cannot do anything. The visioned Nehemiah started praying to the Lord. Let us see what he was doing in his prayer. If we consider verses commencing from verse 4 to 11, part A, in verse 5, we see Nehemiah doing a prayer to God and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He is praising God in his prayer. We see Nehemiah praising God in his prayer. The first and important thing a person should remember in his prayer is praising God first. When we are disturbed in our hearts, when we are pinched in our hearts, when we try to do certain things, when we pray, it is important to remember that we need to praise God. Nehemiah praised God before he did anything else. Sitting quietly, singing a couple of songs in the church service and going home does not mean that you are really praising God. I really love the songs that we sing every day in every worship services. But the praise that should that we do in the dwelling place of God or in our daily lives should come from within yourselves. You should praise God from within yourself. Nehemiah begins his prayer by exalting God. He praises God for his superiority, his strength, his sovereignty. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, when Jesus taught his disciples the prayer, he first taught about praising God. Hallowed be thy name. Isn't it? Even Jesus taught to praise before you pray. To praise God. It's an important thing that we should remember this morning. Number two, in verse 6, part A, first part. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. My dear brothers and sisters, in my Bible, my Telugu Bible, it goes like this. It talks about day and night, praying to God day and night. I pray before thee now, day and night. That's the first part in my Telugu Bible, in my language. Then when we think about prayer of Nehemiah, first he had praise in his prayer, and later on in verse 6, part A, he talks about Nehemiah prayed day and night. Prayer needs perseverance. Prayer involves praise, number one. Prayer involves perseverance. Patience when you pray, day and night. Day and night, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He got before the Lord and prayed until the answer came. That is the kind of praying we need to see demonstrated in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. Not the kind of prayer that will stop after a time or two. Let me ask you this question. How many minutes do you pray a day? How many minutes do you spend in the dwelling place of God? Even in your personal prayers. It's very hard to pray at least half an hour in a day for us. We are so busy. We are so much preoccupied with certain things. A person with a vision to do something to the Lord will spend as much as time he can in the presence of God. In the presence of God. My dear brothers and sisters. Are we praying day and night? Are we praying like Nehemiah? The visionary prayer involves perseverance. Number one, it involves praise. Visionary prayer involves perseverance. In chapter 1 verse 6, second part, it talks about confession. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Visionary prayer involves praise. Visionary prayer involves perseverance. Number three, visionary prayer involves penitence. Confession. As this man prays, he begins to confess his sins as an individual and as the sins of his people. Sometimes we be in an impression that we are very good people, right? That we don't do anything wrong. We are perfect people. We have nothing to confess in the presence of God. We are self-righteous sometimes. But in the word of God, when we see Nehemiah, he not only confessing the sins of his people, but also his own sins. He's confessing his own sins. A visionary prayer involves penitence, my dear brothers and sisters. Involved penitence. A repentant heart must be there in your prayer, in your visionary prayer. The church, as it prays a visionary prayer, it should involve the penitence. In verse 8 to 10, when we look in verses 8 to 10, Nehemiah, I know, talks about the promises of God. Let us read 8 and 9. Remember, I beseech thee the word, and thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. A visionary prayer involves promises. Number one, we saw the visionary prayer involves praise. A visionary prayer involves perseverance. A visionary prayer involves penitence. A visionary prayer involves promises. Now Nehemiah begins to remind God of the promises he had made to Israel. Nehemiah is remembering about the promises. Even he remembers the promises to punish their sins and to restore them in the event of repentance. Now God is not going to be silent if you are going to sin and go away with that. God is going to punish you, and God is going to punish me. He is going to punish us, but he is going to restore us if we come to the Lord with a repentant heart. With a repentant heart. The Ten Commandments, we all know the Ten Commandments, right? Among those Ten Commandments, how many of them do we really follow in our lives? How many of them? I'm in a situation to say that I'm perfect follower of the Ten Commandments. Probably may not. Sometimes we use God's name in vain. Right? We use God's name in vain. We say sometimes, oh my God. Right? Don't we say that? Using God's name in vain? Using God's name unnecessarily? Having things more than God in our lives, right? Having things more than God in our lives is nothing but idolatry. It's nothing but idolatry. You know, we go to a restaurant. Whenever I come to United States, people like Reverend Marvin Clark, Dr. Vic Riesner, they take me to good restaurants to eat. It's good. Nice food. Food with lots of carbs and cholesterol. But after eating, when we pay, the check arrives in front of us and we pay the money. And we give a tip, right? We give a tip. I don't know how do you calculate your tips in the United States, but in India, it will be approximately 10% of your bill. Okay? We give them. But when it comes to the matter of God's work, God's kingdom, we treat our God more worse than a waiter. Am I right? Let me ask you this question. I consider you all my own, my people, and you won't think bad about me, or you won't beat me after I come out of this pulpit. Okay. Let us examine ourselves. We are so much concerned about these worldly things, but not about the spiritual things. A visionary prayer involves promises of God. God's promises are there. When we sin, God is going to punish us. But when we come out with a repentant heart, God is going to restore us and bless us. We might be an impression that we are good, but sometimes we do lots of things that God does not want us to do. We may not come out. Our hearts, the thinking of our heart, the thinking of our minds is something against God. We need to understand the vision, the are we living according to the vision that the Lord has given to us or not? Prayer, the visionary prayer involves praise. The visionary prayer involves perseverance. The visionary prayer involves penitence. The visionary prayer involves promises. The visionary prayer in verse 11, when we see, in verse 11, Nehemiah is talking about, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. We see two important words over there. He says, prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Let us examine this one. The visionary prayer of Nehemiah involved partnership. He was not alone. He was not alone. He says, Lord, listen to our prayers. Not only my prayer, thy servant's prayer, our prayer. A group of people gathering together. Partnership, a teamwork. A visionary prayer involves partnership. Partnership, my dear brothers and sisters. We are not single in the vision that the Lord has given to us. In order to fulfill the vision that God has given to you, you cannot do it alone. You need to have a prayer partners. And you need to have a team to fulfill the vision that Lord has given to you. You look into the history. You look into the history, including Jesus himself. He had disciples with him. He had partners. You take any leader, any missionary for that matter. He was never alone. No missionary came to our country on his own. His church or his people sent them to our place. They came and ministered in our place. Partners are needed in order to fulfill the vision the Lord has given to you. Visionary prayer involves partners. Partners. When we see about Nehemiah, he was doing that. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it talks about the Lord told us there was a power in corporate prayer. Right? There was power in corporate prayer. Wherever one or two or three gathers in my name, my presence shall be there. The presence of God is in midst of people who gather in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. The corporate prayer is very much important. The partners in a mission are important. A visionary prayer involves partners. In verse 11, when we see after the servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. We see, a visionary prayer involves petitions. Nehemiah finally gets around to what is on his heart. At this moment, he is merely praying to the Lord to give him grace. He talks about the last part of this verse, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Grant, asking the mercy of God. He is putting a petition in front of the Lord. In front of the Lord, my brothers and sisters. We see Nehemiah. His ministry is very big. His vision was very big. His work was very big. His position. His future goal was very big. But he starts his work. He starts his vision, mission with prayer and asking God to help him and grant him grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. The whole chapter, chapter 1 of Nehemiah, when we meditate it very clearly, when we meditate it very keenly, we understand the certain things of people of vision who should embrace the providence of God. We should embrace the providence of God. No matter the position you are in, no matter the prosperity you receive in your life, no matter the power you have in your life, whatever you may have, it is not an accident. It is not an accident. God put you in a position, in a good position, to be used for His glory. God gave you prosperity in your life to use it for God's glory. God gave you power in your life to use it for God's glory. for God's glory. A visionary person, my dear brothers and sisters, no matter what kind of situation he might be, he is there for with a purpose to fulfill the vision, the mission of the Lord in his life. Vision of the Lord in his life. You are here, Leesville Southern Methodist Church members. You are here. You are positioned here. You are living here. You are not accidentally living in this place or coming to this church. There is a purpose in your life. There is a purpose in your position. There is a purpose in your prosperity. There is a purpose in the power you have that God has given to you to be utilized for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Would you agree with me that we desperately need people with a vision? People with a vision in our day. I think we all see the need for people who are in touch with God, for people who are moved by God, and people on the move for God. We need that kind of people in our churches, our families, and our communities. Those are the people who will be used to change our world in these last days. You go to online, my dear sisters. You see lots of people suffering just because of being a Christian, just because of being in the Lord. They're suffering a lot. We are very comfortable here, right? We are very happy in this place with all things. We don't have any problems. Spiritually, we may not have any problems. But let us think about the people who are facing problems in their lives just because of being Christian. Just because of being Christian. I think I told you all last time when I came. I was in Dallas in 2007 and I was ministering with a group called GNN Network, and we were having an open air preaching in a place where there was a crusade taking place. Crusade did not start yet. The crusade was to start, and me with a couple of friends, we were trying to preach the gospel in the United States in the city called Dallas. And as we were preaching in a place where a Christian meeting was to take place, we were suddenly stopped by the security people. A Christian program, a Christian crusade, we were not doing anything illegal over there. The people were coming in and we were talking to them and giving the gospel tracts and sharing the gospel with them. My dear brothers and sisters, they stopped us. They said, "You are not supposed to preach." We were stopped to preach in a place where Christians were gathering by the security people in the United States. That's one of the things that I've experienced in the United States. But when you come to India, or when you go to other countries in Asia or Middle Eastern places, you see people not just stopping you when you preach gospel, but try to beat you or kill you or do whatever they wanted to do if you try to preach gospel to them. There is a girl in our church, in one of our churches. She is the only person that is coming to the church from her family. She is the only convert. She is the only convert in her family. She comes to church, and after she goes home, she in her room, she'll be praying, kneeling down and praying. You know, her own brother, elder brother, he comes from back and he kicks her. He drags her with holding her hair and beats up her like anything. And she comes to the church crying. She shares her problem. We can just talk to that person, but we cannot do anything else. We are trying to convince, counsel this young lady. She's about 20 years. For the sake of being a Christian or carrying a Bible or praying in the name of the Lord, she's been beaten by her own brother. The Bible that we distributed, the Bible that we gave to her, was burnt by her own brother. There are lots of people that are suffering in the churches around the world. It makes our responsibility. We may not go and do something. We may not go and stop persecution. We may not go and say, okay, we are from America, you stop doing this, or else we'll do that and this. We may not be in a position to do that. But we can pray for them. We can pray for them. But we can understand the problem they are facing. But we can understand the need they have in their respective nations. My dear brothers and sisters, the situation is so worse. The situation is going to be more worse in the days to come. In the days to come. We as a church need to have a vision to reach the people with need. Nehemiah had a compassionate heart. He was a calm-going person. His heart was disturbed. His heart was pinched by the Lord. Pinched by the Lord. He had a vision. He had a vision to help out his own people. To help out his own people. It was not an easy job. It was not an easy job. The goal was not an easy thing. But he did it with the help of the Lord when he committed his whole life to the into the hands of the Lord. We can make a difference in our society. We can make a difference in our world. We may be a small church. We may be a very small church. But God is there to use even a small thing. Even a small thing. God is there. But we need to trust him as Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was a man with a vision. This church this morning should have a vision. Must be like Nehemiah to reach its society, its people around the church or around the world. As a believer, as a Christian, as a person who trusts the Lord, need to have a vision. We all know a saying, right? Where there is no vision, the people perish. If you really have a vision, you may not come to church and sleep in the church. If you have a vision, you will go out of these four walls and do God's word for the glory of God and for the glory of God alone. If you really have a vision, if you really have vision, you do not stay calm. You do not stay quiet in your life. You go out doing something for God's glory. It should disturb your heart. You know, our nests should be disturbed. Our nests should be disturbed. Our hearts should be disturbed. Do something for God's glory. Go somewhere. Do something for God's glory. We can do that. We can do that. If you are still calm, if you are still quiet, and nothing is happening in my life, nothing is going on in my life, there is something wrong in your relationship with the Lord. There is something wrong in your relationship with the Lord. If you really love God, if you really be in the Lord, you must be at the cutting edge. You must be. I must be at the cutting edge to glorify God in winning souls for His glory. What did God place in your heart? What did God want you to do? You know very well than I do in your own life. You must understand the will of God, the purpose of God. The vision should carry you off. The vision that you have should go ahead with that vision to reach people for the glory of God. As a servant of God, being a part and parcel of Southern Methodist Church, I'm really glad to be with this denomination, to be with this church. And God is really using us in His vineyard. We are reaching people. We are suffering. We face problems. We face persecution. In spite of those things, we go and do God's work. We go and preach God's word. We preach God's word. We need to be visionary people. We need to be visionary people. Nehemiah was a visionary person. He did what God wants him to do. And if we are visionary people, we need to do what God wants us to do this morning. Let us examine ourselves. Let us bow down our heads and look to the Lord and ask ourselves a question. Am I living a calm life? Am I without any disturbance in our hearts with the purpose of doing something for God? If at all God does not place anything in your heart, ask God this morning to place something in your heart so that you can roll up your sleeves and do what God wants you to do in your life. Let us understand. Let us ask God to help us. As Nehemiah prayed, his prayer involved praise, his prayer involved perseverance. Let us pray continuously, rigorously, day and night, and ask God, God help me, what can I do? I'm available, O Lord. Use me for your glory. If you do not have a vision, if I do not have a vision, that means there is something wrong between me and my God. If you really love God, if you really saved in the Lord and living in the Lord, you got to have a vision for God. To fulfill that vision, we need to commit ourselves as Nehemiah committed his life to the Lord. Let us ask God's help and commit ourselves so that we might be visionary people. Our church might be a visionary church, because God is looking for, God is expecting people of vision. God wants people of vision. God wants people of vision.
Rebuild your work.